Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking into something pretty interesting. This peptide called Cemax. Can it really boost our brain power? It comes out of neuroscience research in Russia, and it's basically a synthetic version of a tiny piece of a hormone, ACTH. There's been some buzz about its potential.
Yeah, and what's fascinating, I think, is the background. This isn't some brand new thing. Cemax actually grew out of decades of research in the Soviet Union, and then Russia, specifically looking at how peptides affect the brain. So it's got quite a research history behind it.
Exactly. So our mission today, our deep dive, is to really unpack this. We'll look at where Cemax came from, dig into the science, what the lab studies and human trials say. We'll also face the potential downside squarely, the side effects, and maybe touch on whether it's popped up on any big podcasts people listen to. The aim is really to give you a clear view of what we know about Cemax, the good, the bad, the unknowns. Okay, let's jump in. First off, what is Cemax exactly?
Okay, so simply put, Cemax is a man-made molecule. It's a peptide, specifically a chain of 7 amino acids. It was first created in Russia, back in the late 20th century. And its whole purpose really has been focused on the nervous system, on cognitive function. What makes it stand out a bit is that it's actually been used clinically over there in Russia for things like stroke, TIAs, those are mini strokes, and, you know, different kinds of cognitive issues.
Right. So it has seen some real world use in certain places. How does it actually work in the brain, this little 7 amino acid chain?
Well, the mechanism seems pretty multifaceted, actually. It's not just one thing. But one of the key ways we think it works is by influencing neurotrophins, especially BDNF.
BDNF, that's brain-derived neurotrophic factor, right? Stuff that's important for brain cells.
Exactly. Think of BDNF like fertilizer for your neurons. It helps them survive. It helps them grow, helps them make new connections. That's neuroplasticity. Cemax is thought to ramp up BDNF levels, and that boost could be behind a lot of the benefits people have seen. Plus, there's evidence it acts as an antioxidant, fighting off damaging free radicals in the brain. And it seems to have anti-inflammatory effects, too, and just generally protect neurons. So it's like a multi-tool for brain support.
Huh. Hitting several bases, then. Antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, BDNF booster. Sounds promising on paper. What about the actual research? You mentioned preclinical stuff and clinical trials. What's the evidence look like?
There is a decent amount of research out there. And importantly, like I said, that includes human clinical trials, mostly stemming from its use in Russia. If you look at stroke recovery, for instance, some Russian studies suggest Cemax might help improve neurological function, you know, potentially reduce the deficits people are left with after a stroke. And similarly, there's research looking at whether it can help people recover after TIAs, the mini strokes.
That could be huge for recovery. But what about the cognitive enhancement side? That's where a lot of the hype seems to be.
Absolutely. And there are studies on that, too. They've looked at Cemax for improving things like memory, attention, learning ability. And interestingly, not just in people who already have cognitive impairment, but in healthy individuals as well. There's also some work suggesting it might help keep your thinking sharp, even when you're under stress. Or in people dealing with something called asthenic syndrome, that's like persistent deep fatigue and weakness.
And this isn't just human studies. You mentioned animal models earlier.
That's right. Preclinical work offered in rodents modeling conditions like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. And in those animal models, Cemax has shown potential. It seems to reduce neuronal damage and lead to better outcomes. So connecting the dots, these findings sort of hint that Cemax might have a neuroprotective role against degeneration.
Okay, but you flagged something important earlier about the research landscape, especially the studies from Russia. Can you expand on that? What's the nuance there?
Yeah, that's a really crucial point when you're evaluating the evidence. While there is this body of research, a lot of it from Russia, we need to be aware that the, let's say, the methodologies or the standards used in some of those studies might not perfectly align with the strict regulatory requirements you see in, say, the US or Western Europe. So to get really broad international acceptance and a clearer picture, what we'd really like to see are more large-scale, independent, placebo-controlled trials. Trials conducted under different regulatory systems, you know?
Right.
Doesn't mean we ignore the existing Russian data, not at all, but it means we need more validation, more research conducted to meet various international benchmarks for, let's call it data quality control.
That makes sense. So the current data is interesting, definitely points towards something, but more internationally standardized research would really solidify things.
Okay, let's switch gears. Potential downsides. Side effects. What do we know? Generally speaking, Cemax seems to have a pretty good safety track record. especially the nasal spray form, which is how it's often taken. The most commonly reported side effects tend to be mild, and they don't usually last long.
Like what specifically?
Things like irritation inside the nose, maybe a slight burning feeling right when you spray it. Pretty localized stuff. Some people have also reported mild headaches or maybe feeling a bit drowsy, but these don't seem super common.
Okay, so mostly minor transient things. You mentioned its connection to ACTH fragments earlier. Does that raise any flags about broader systemic effects, like on hormones?
That's a very relevant question. Because it's derived from an ACTH fragment, theoretically you might wonder about effects on the endocrine system, the hormone system. But in practice, at the doses typically studied and used, significant impacts on the endocrine system haven't really been a consistent finding or a major concern. It's more of a theoretical point based on its origins than a common practical issue, it seems.
Right. So if someone listening is thinking about this, perhaps curious, what's the main takeaway on safety?
I think the critical message is, first, individual responses can vary. Always. Second, sticking to recommended dosages is key. Don't go off parcus. And third, maybe most importantly, talk to a qualified healthcare professional before even considering using something like C-Max. Seriously. Especially if you have any existing health conditions or if you're taking other medications, get professional advice. And, you know, echoing our earlier point, more long-term safety data from those big international standard trials would certainly give us an even better handle on safety.
Solid advice. Always consult a pro. Okay, let's pivot slightly. A lot of you listening probably get information from Health and Science podcasts. Maybe you're wondering, has C-Max been talked about by people like Andrew Huberman, Joe Rogan, maybe Dr. Craig Conover?
Yeah.
Is it on their radar?
That's a fair question, given how influential those platforms can be. Honestly, looking at the mainstream English language podcast scene, C-Max probably isn't discussed nearly as often as, say, some other peptides that are bigger in the biohacking or wellness worlds right now. And that might just boil down to its history developed and used more extensively in Russia, so it hasn't had the same kind of exposure in the West.
Okay, so maybe less common, but could it have come up in, you know, broader chats about brain health or nootropics?
Oh, absolutely possible.
Yep.
It's conceivable that these hosts or their guests might have mentioned C-Max or similar peptides in wider discussions. For instance, Dr. Huberman, given his neuroscience background, if he were to discuss it, he'd likely focus right in on the mechanisms, the BDNF link, neuronal plasticity, and he'd almost certainly stress the quality of the research or lack thereof by certain standards.
Makes sense for him. What about someone like Rogan?
On Rogan's show, you know, it covers such a vast range of stuff. A guest might potentially mention C-Max as one item in a list of nootropics they've heard about or tried, but it probably wouldn't get a deep dive with lots of clinical data or safety analysis. More likely a passing mention, if at all.
And Dr. Conover. He works a lot with peptides, right?
Yes. Dr. Conover focuses specifically on peptide therapies in his practice, so he's probably more likely than the others to have discussed C-Max specifically. He might share clinical observations or his perspective on its potential uses for cognitive support or neuroprotection based on his experience.
So, bottom line. Maybe not a frequent headliner on these shows, but it could definitely surface in related conversations. And of course, a standard disclaimer applies to podcast info, doesn't it?
Absolutely crucial. Anything you hear on a podcast, this one included, is for informational purposes. It's interesting, it might spark questions, but it is not a substitute for professional medical advice. You need personalized guidance from a qualified healthcare provider who understands your health, the science, and the regulations.
Couldn't agree more. Okay, let's wrap up this deep dive then. What are the main things we want our listeners to walk away with regarding C-Max?
Okay, key takeaways. C-Max is a Russian-developed synthetic peptide. Decades of research behind it. It's studied for potential cognitive enhancement and neuroprotection. A key suspected mechanism is boosting BDNF. Research, mainly from Russia, suggests possible benefits in stroke recovery and for cognitive issues. Safety profile seems relatively good, generally speaking, with mostly mild, often nasal side effects reported. And finally, while not a huge topic on major English podcasts, it might get mentioned sometimes in broader health discussions.
Okay, so for anyone listening whose interest is piqued, or maybe someone who has concerns about their own cognitive health, what is the single most important step?
Talk to your doctor. Or find a qualified healthcare provider who is knowledgeable in this area. They can assess your specific situation, discuss the actual scientific evidence as it stands today, consider their regulatory status, and give you personalized advice. Self-experimenting based on, you know, internet research or podcasts is really not the way to go.
Excellent point. It always circles back to informed professional guidance. All right, let's leave you with a final thought. The world of neuroactive peptides is Well, it's really dynamic and fascinating. There's ongoing research, potential new avenues for supporting our brain health, but navigating this space requires a critical eye. It means seeking out solid scientific information and always, always prioritizing professional medical advice when it comes to your health and well-being. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.